Backed by popular demand, the AFA Easter Button is here. The bold new stained glass design features the cross at the center under the message, "He is risen." This beautiful design tells the story in one line. It's a conversation starter, so you might share the saving truth of Jesus' death and resurrection. A 10-pack of buttons is $15. 10 or more 10-packs are just $7 each. Order today at resources.afa.net. That's resources.afa.net. He is risen indeed.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Monday, March the 24th, 2025. Thanks for listening to AFR. Joining me in studio is Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim.
Just the three of us. We have no fourth brain trust here today. So we got to carry it, fellas.
Mm-hmm. One third each. I think we can do that.
One third each. Brain, brain, brain. We got
That's
it.
That's right.
Hey, before we jump into the depressing news of the day, which there's much of it,
yes, right?
There's also some encouraging news. We're going to get to that. The NCAA basketball tournament is going on right now.
Right.
I know you hockey fellas don't give a rip about that.
I did fill out a bracket. I have no idea where I am on the bracket.
You filled out a bracket based on?
Feelings.
Your feelings, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to make note that, and I'm not trying to brag, because I don't like to draw attention to myself. You know what I'm saying?
I hear a butt coming.
I sure do know what you're saying.
But on my the women's side isn't complete till tonight. The Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Talking about. But on the men's side, it's done. And I picked 13 out of 16.
That's so, that's very good, because there was several upsets that nobody saw coming.
Right, right, which is why they're upsets.
Yes.
Nobody sees them coming. They're upset.
What I'm saying, wise guy.
did I sound like a smart aleck?
Is it's hard to get 16 out of 16.
Yes.
Because then you'd have to almost predict what nobody saw coming is what I was
You'd have to have insider information.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I picked 13 out of 16 on the men's side of the Sweet 16 field. And I will make note that, and maybe I haven't looked at the whole women's bracket yet, so I'm sure there's another school that can make this claim. But as of today, as of yesterday, the Ole Miss basketball teams on the men's and the women's side both made the Sweet 16.
I saw Ole Miss. I saw the headline on that. Was that unexpected?
Not according to Tim, because I picked them. I'm a Mississippi State grad, so Ole Miss is our rival, in-state rival. But I went. I don't do things like that. I do objective, and that's why I'm so good at it. And again, I don't like to brag. What are you doing here?
I'm checking. Double checking
my.
I'm checking to see how I did.
Okay. So I had my sheet here in front of me, and Ed,
there you go. Go
Ed
ahead.
Picked it up without asking.
This is important to you, I know.
It took it from me, and was
you said
looking it over.
You don't want to bring this up because you don't like to. You've already sent it around to staff.
Right.
That you got 13 out of 16.
Right, right. So anyway, so we'll see how the Ole Miss Rebels do going forward, but they do have both their men's and the women's in the Sweet 16. Again, there may be some other schools that can make that claim as well. Tennessee's women's basketball team's good. They may have made this tonight. They got to finish it out. So I'm talking about the brackets for the Sweet 16.
Right.
Anyway, we'll see what happens going forward.
So the good news you were wanted to talk about was how you had gotten personally 13 out of 16.
But as I said, I don't want to bring attention to
yes.
it. So. I was just stating a fact.
Yes.
The fact that's
right.
I got
Let the chips fall where they may.
Yes. We need more gambling analogies here on American Family Radio.
I was talking about Doritos. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, that was a good one. May the chips fall where they may.
That's right. If they fall in,
I had a whole bag.
Guacamole.
I had a small bag of Doritos yesterday. And, you know, as you get most of us, as we move on down life's road, and we have to watch the waistband.
Battle of the Bulge.
You have to look at the calories.
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Do you guys do this?
I absolutely do.
So I look at the calories on that Doritos bag. It's a small bag. It's like six chips, right? Now they've reduced it now. I mean, since Biden, Trump's having to bring the Doritos back.
Yes.
I expect 12 chips next
year. That's right.
After Trump's tariffs kick in. So anyway, I've got six or seven. It says 130 calories.
I know. I check that stuff. We have snack machines here.
We do.
And I look at like a bag of M&Ms. Is like 400 calories.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Is that what it is?
And I go, no way am I blowing 400 calories on one little bag of M&M's.
Right. You got to save it for that six piece of pizza tonight.
That's
right. That's where you spend it.
I spend my calories at the wisely, end of the day.
Wisely. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. All right, Fred, what's our first story?
Well, I tell you, if folks have been listening over the last 3-4 weeks, you know that there is a war going on right now between President Donald Trump and a bunch of what many conservatives would consider very activist left-wing judges. A couple of breaking news items for you this morning. This morning, the Trump administration petitioned the United States Supreme Court to halt a judge's order to rehire 17,000 probationary federal workers. Now, this judge, U.S. District Judge William Alsup, based in San Francisco. By the way, Tim, he's a graduate of Mississippi State.
Oh, okay.
He has a math degree from Mississippi State. He went to Harvard, got corrupted at the legal school there, at the law school.
And then moved to San Francisco.
And then moved to San Francisco.
Makes total sense.
Yes.
Is he, where is he hail from? Do you know?
I assume here in Mississippi somewhere.
Well, okay. So he's a flaming liberal.
Oh, San Francisco. You read his background on his cases, and he is whole hog. He's a Clinton appointee, by the way.
I hope he's not from Mississippi, but anyway.
All right. So,
he graduated from math, and then he went to Harvard and got corrupted.
Harvard.
He got Harvard and got corrupted. Okay.
Yes, yeah. Anyway, so this is the first of these cases that the Trump administration is dealing with that has now gone to the United States Supreme Court. At the same time, the Trump administration this morning is appearing before the D.C. Court of Appeals to hear oral arguments in the deportation case. Now, this involves Judge James Boasberg, who, if you've been listening over the last 10 days or so to the news, he is the federal district judge there in D.C. who has said and is questioning Trump's right to deport
non-citizen criminals.
Non-citizen criminals. Now, this particular case, the front end of this, has to deal with those two airplanes filled with deportees that took off about a week ago Saturday. So far, the Trump administration is fighting this, obviously, tooth and nail, because the Trump administration believes the president of the United States has the right to send these non-citizens who they say are violent, have committed, many of them, violent crimes, down to this place in El Salvador that keeps bad guys like this. One of the people talking about what's going on here, Fox legal analyst Greg Jarrett, says that Boasberg is way out of his depth in this ruling. Cut number one.
What's so troubling, I think, about Boasberg's restraining order is that he is defying the Supreme Court, which reviewed Harry Truman's use of the Alien Enemies Act after World War II ended. And the high court said that not only is the act constitutional under the law of the land, it is not subject to judicial review by any judge.
Wow.
So there you have it. So there are a couple of fronts on this. You know, there's the Boasberg is he wants the information on when the planes took off, because what the Trump administration did says when Boasberg issued his order that these planes turn around, The Trump administration said they're out of U.S. airspace. They've already left. So there's that. Now Boasberg wants the evidence that the Trump administration used to determine that these were bad guys. All right? So, and the Trump administration is fighting that. The Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, is fighting that, saying we would be forced to reveal our sources, how we get this information on these bad guys. So this is, it's going to end up before the United States Supreme Court as well. That's the way this is headed.
Well, these liberal judges, by the way, Tim, I have some bad news. This San Francisco judge that Fred mentioned earlier, William Alsup, is from Jackson, Mississippi. So okay. He is from Mississippi.
Well, we're about to kick him out.
Yes.
We're going to revoke his Mississippi citizenship.
Yes, that's right.
We're not sending him to an El Salvadorian court.
Or prison. I mean, prison. No, yes. Right.
I'm just saying.
He has to stay in San Francisco.
Yes.
listen, this judge who, by the way, I'm pretty sure.
Excuse me for interrupting. Are we talking about two different judges?
We
now?
Are.
Yes.
The gentleman you just mentioned right now, in San Francisco, who yes. is a native Mississippian.
That was the rehire federal workers case.
Okay. Which is separate from the Bozeman?
Yes, Boasberg.
Who is in Washington, D.C., is a federal judge in District of Columbia.
And this is the deportation
scene. Gotcha. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And by the way, Boasberg, I think, also for a time played in the Addams Family. I've seen him. Pretty sure. The words "you rang,"
bada boom, bada boom,
comes to mind. Listen, this—we've been talking about this in our story meeting and a couple other meetings over the last week or so. If this federal district judge Boasberg can pull this off, that means not only judicial review of the law, this 1798 law that the Trump administration is pointing to. They will have judicial review over everything yep. the executive branch ever does regarding immigration.
Right.
We got to review it first.
Right.
If we're determining policy. This is insanity. I hope this guy gets tanked quickly. This is going, right, Fred, before the appellate court? Or is this, calling for explanations from the...
Two things going on at once.
Okay.
There is an appeal today that the Trump administration is making to the appeals court, the D.C. appeals court. But at the same time, the Trump administration is facing another deadline, I believe today, on his demand that they provide the information that led them to believe that these were bad guys. And they are fighting that.
Also, he wants to know about, doesn't he want to know about the times where the planes were when yes. he issued his, yeah. was it a verbal? Wasn't it first a verbal?
It was first a verbal order, but he says yeah. it still counts. Yeah. But he wants times, you know, when the planes took off and when he gave his order, it is reaching the point, as Ed is pointing out, is the president allowed to do this? This law, which was used by Truman, says of course he's allowed to do this.
Okay, as Ed said, if this is allowed to stand, then every deportation case would have to be brought before a federal judge.
Right.
That's just crazy and insane.
Right. Yeah.
I think ultimately, I don't know what the D.C. appellate, here you have three stages here for folks, give a short civics class. You have you have federal judges all over America, and and first step is a single judge.
Uh-huh.
Okay, who has jurisdiction over a given geographical area. And this fella is District of Columbia, which is where the order came for President Trump to deport these folks. Secondly, you have an appellate court, a federal appellate court, which is made up of multiple judges in the same district. And then you ultimately, I think after that's the Supreme Court.
Yeah, after you go through an appellate
court. Is the Supreme Court of the United yes. States. Which is probably where this will end up, pretty maybe in an expedited fashion, so that the Supreme Court of the United States will rule, settle the question here. But okay, I don't help me understand. I know that the American Civil Liberties Union, and I don't know if they're the ones advocating this time on behalf of the non-citizen criminals here who Trump is and his administration are deporting. But oftentimes in the past, the ACLU has been known for advocating on the part of people who've been who've been charged with crimes, who have even been convicted, and maybe their, quote, civil rights were violated. This is what the ACLU would promote. Now, I do think there has to, I do think, you know, the court system, the federal court system does serve a purpose of checking executive overruns or executive, what am I trying to say? Maybe where they have exceeded their authority.
Right.
Okay. So we do have checks and balances in this country. You have congressional, judicial, and executive. However, in this case, I'm wanting to, the reason I'm this is a long-winded way of asking, why are these liberal judges and or liberal, very liberal people, Bernie Sanders is not one of them, by the way, he's for deportation, sounds like to me, why are they so interested in all these gang members and criminals that Trump has rounded up and rounded up with the law, ICE and other means, and to deport them? Why do they? And they're non-citizens. What are they saying?
There are several issues involved. So first of all, people who are here in our country, even if they are here illegally, are granted certain due process rights. Okay, you can't just pick someone up who's in the country illegally and throw them into prison for a bank robbery that they didn't commit without a trial. Okay, they do have certain.
I got you.
They do have certain protections under the Constitution, even if they're here illegally. So the Biden administration threw open the doors, invited the surge. We've talked about that. I think with some of these, like this district judge in D.C., I think what some of them are saying is the Biden administration let them in. You can't just pick them up and deport them for being gang members unless you can prove they're gang members or you can prove that they committed a crime. Now, the other side of the issue, the Trump administration is saying they're here illegally. We're starting with the criminals, the known criminals and gang members, and deporting them. That is under the auspices of executive power, and we have every right to do that. So those are the kind of issues I think that'll be hammered out in the appellate court. This guy, this D.C. District Judge Boasberg, I personally think should have recused himself. He is clearly a political opponent of Donald Trump. His wife's a political opponent. But you're not going to find many leftist
judges.
She
gave donations.
Yes.
To
you're not going to find many liberal Democrats. Judges who will recuse themselves when they should. This is personal to him, I think. And I think he's going to wind up losing on this.
Yeah, this is it's carrying over. This deportation argument is carrying over to this Syrian guy who is in this country with a green card. He's been leading the Mahmoud Khalil. He has been leading the anti-Israel protests at Columbia University. He was picked up. They want him deported. You know, as many people have said, you're here on a student visa. You're here on a green card. You're not supposed to be leading these protests. And they're really anti-American protests, too,
right,
folks. We got to keep that in mind. So he is being held in a detention center now. But the ACLU and some other groups have gone to court saying no, that the Trump administration has no right to deport this guy.
Okay, the only, and I'm going on gut feeling here. I'm not going on the law here. The only way I could see where this would be you would have some sort of a claim against the administration would be if you are sent off to a El Salvadorian prison or Guantanamo Bay or wherever they're back to Venezuela or whatever, and you weren't a criminal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I think that's why Boasberg is saying, I want you to prove that these are criminals. Pam Bondi saying we can't do that without giving up sources.
Now, I know people were saying to the radio, yes, but if they're here illegally, in other words, they came to the U.S. and just broke into our country without coming here in the legal process, they are but de facto a criminal. Okay, and I understand that argument, but you understand, you get what I'm saying? If something seems wrong about if you did send a somebody who hadn't committed a crime here in the U.S., even though they're here illegally, pick them up and send them off to these places I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
First of all, let me just start off.
Am I a bleeding heart liberal on this one?
No, you're not.
Okay.
And let me start off by saying I like what President Trump is doing in the Trump administration. I think they should be deporting people who are here and they aren't citizens. They should be doing that. All right. However, let me say the argument on the other side is that President Biden invited them in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He invited them in and said, you don't have to wait in Mexico. You can come into this country and whatever it is, 2, 3, 4 years later, you will have your hearing to see whether you can be in our country. And that is their kind of get out of jail card, free, get out of jail free card. So the ACLU and others are saying, one administration let them in. Now this administration is breaking the deal that the Biden administration had with them. I think that's the ACLU argument, even beyond the sending them to an El Salvadoran prison.
One other thing on this. This is what I argued when Biden opened the doors and said, everybody can come in here. Is that somebody should have gone to court and charged President Biden with what would you call it when you sabotage your own country?
Treason.
Okay. Well. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well,
malfeasance of duty or something.
Okay. So, but what I mean by that is, it seems to me Biden and his accomplices, should it be Vice President Harris at the time or whoever, who said and Alexandria Mayorkas. What was his name?
Alejandro Mayorkas.
Okay. They were a dereliction of duty.
Absolutely.
They were responsible for defending the borders of the United States, and they actually opened up the borders. So they were they themselves were violating federal law.
Well, this is the bizarre point, though. People on the left said to people like us and Trump and other conservatives, you may not like it, but President Biden has the right to determine who comes into the country.
Alone?
Well, yes, because he's the head of the executive branch. Now that the head of the executive branch is Donald Trump, and he wants to deport these same people, now they're all saying you can't do that.
Oh, okay.
And so to me—
The Democrats, for the most part.
Not the whole
Democrat Party, but most of them.
Yeah. So if Biden has, because he's the head of the executive branch, has the right to determine immigration policy alone when he's letting them in, why doesn't Trump have alone the right as head of the executive branch to decide who's going in the other direction?
Well,
I think that's what the—
I'll tell you
Trump
why.
Administration should argue.
Tell you the bottom line politically about this, and we've mentioned this before. The reason that Biden and the Democrats want everybody in the world to flood into our country and not stop them, again, not all Democrats,
right.
Fetterman and some ones have some common sense, but the reason they wanted them in the last 4 years to just flood in and 12 to 15 million people came in?
Yeah, maybe more.
Yes.
Is because they want them to become legal citizens and become a giant voting block for the Democrats.
Uh-huh.
So it was politically driven.
Right.
They want them to be loyal to the Democrats who let them in once they become citizens.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's clear. What other reason would they have?
That's it. No, that was the reason. But that was a good point you made. If Biden can say everybody gets to come in here and we're not going to stop them, then why can't Trump say, no, everybody has to leave?
Right.
And we'll pick you up and help you leave.
Yeah, there were no federal judges telling Biden,
right,
we're going to oversee your policy.
Because you're not enforcing federal law.
Right.
Remember, Biden flew them in on airplanes.
Yes.
From Venezuela.
In the dark of night.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was the most insane. That's one of the reasons the Democrats lost.
Yep.
We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
As we celebrate the many pro-life victories going forth, we rejoice. Preborn's network of clinics have a unique opportunity to advance even further without political persecution. What does this look like? Preborn is the greatest threat to the abortion industry. By rescuing, on average, 200 babies' lives a day, they are putting a serious dent into the abortion holocaust. But there are still thousands of babies who are slain daily, and Preborn's goal is to rescue them all. With the help of the pro-life community, meaning you, we can save so many more. Please join us in saving all of these precious lives. The ultrasound is the game changer. Once a mother hears that precious heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. If you consider yourself pro-life, we need your help. One ultrasound is just $28. Five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 sponsors ultrasounds for the entire Preborn network for an entire day. How many lives can you save? Every child is a beautiful gift from God. Please join the cause. To donate securely, please dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
In him we were also chosen as God's own, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything by the counsel of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, would be for the praise of his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred. Hey, real quickly, we have people stop by almost daily here at American Family Association and American Family Radio to visit our home offices and our studios, and we welcome that, don't we, Ed?
We do. We do ask they go to afa.net and register for that, so we know
they're here legally. Coming. They're here,
yes,
legally.
No, they're here legally, but so that we know they're coming.
We invite a surge.
It's a surge at the front door of American Family Association. Well, we want to make sure that it's not a day off or time.
Just let us know you're coming.
Yes.
That's just common courtesy.
There you go.
Right there.
Just hey, before we move on, I do want to, by the way, that is afa.net. You can check for.
You do have to pay a tariff.
we
want to get in the front door.
You can't slap a tariff. Yeah.
We're going to slap a tariff on you when you come in the front door.
People actually leave with stuff, you know, so they don't actually, we don't slap tariffs. I do want to make mention, folks, before we go down, continue on with the news, the AFA Activate Summit 2025, that's coming up in June 12 through 14. It's going to be here in, talking about coming to AFA, it's going to be here in Tupelo at the Cadence Bank Conference Center. Special pricing for this ends Friday, April 18th. This is going to be the topic is going to be the biblical bedrock, building on the authority of Scripture. You'll have speakers will give you a clearer understanding of what it means to contend as believers while living in a hostile culture, knowledge of why you can trust the Bible, a renewed desire and love for God's Word. Speakers include yours truly, Abraham Hamilton III, Todd Herman, Frank Turek, Dr. Alex McFarland, and there is a teenager's track. Anyway, there's all sorts of great things that will be going on. You don't want to miss this. To find out more, go to activate.afa.net/summit. activate.afa.net/summit.
When is that? And who are the speakers?
That is going to be June 12th through 14th. I'll be speaking. Abe Hamilton will be speaking. Todd Herman, Frank Turek, Alex McFarland.
Okay. That's gonna be a, so
for the most part, that's a
is that a weekend?
Yes, I think that is. It's I think a Friday through Sunday, maybe. I will double check on that. But there is special pricing that continues. You can get special pricing, but that ends April 18th. So
it's going to be a great weekend.
June 12th through the 14th. I'm sorry, it's Thursday through Saturday.
And we look forward to visiting with a lot of folks who are going to come into town for that conference.
Right.
Again, what's the website to read more and register?
Yes, to register, to find out more information, pricing, all those sorts of things. activate.afa.net/summit.
Todd Herman's going to be in town.
Yes.
For that.
He'll be there. Frank Turek, Dr. Alex McFarland from the staff here at AFA will be myself and Abe Hamilton.
Fred, what do you know about these attacks on Tesla dealerships and so forth? Let's move to that story if we can. Do you have that in your stack, don't you?
Yeah, there's a lot of violence at Tesla dealerships. Violence and single violence against cars, people marking up Tesla cars.
Why?
They are not happy with Elon Musk.
The left.
And so they're doing violence at these dealerships. Whole cars have been destroyed. Dealership windows have been broken out. They don't like Doge, and Elon Musk is in charge of Doge. And we've heard the charges from the left that Elon Musk has, you know, free reign, fire people, you know, get rid of the education department, the whole thing. And so this is the left responding to this. Interesting you mention it, because I got a phone call this morning from a group now, and this is happening, I think, in several places. People are coming out. These are against these demonstrators. They are people now who are for Elon Musk and believe he's being treated badly, because Elon Musk himself has said he's facing death threats sometimes.
Right.
So now you have the counter groups that are coming out, and they're lining up in front of Tesla dealerships to protect the dealerships from these left-wing nuts. So that's where we are with all of this.
And some of these individuals who have firebombed dealerships or otherwise destroyed Tesla automobiles, some of them are getting caught now and are getting convicted, arrested. I don't know if they've got convictions yet, but I've seen several with their faces, their mugshots posted.
Yeah.
Some of them face significant prison time mm-hmm. for those who have destroyed that much property on in dealerships.
Pam Bondi, Attorney General Pam Bondi, is not afraid to refer to them as domestic terrorists.
Yes.
You know what? You know, Ben and Jerry's, the ice cream people.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're owned by Unilever now, but their founders are very liberal guys.
Very.
Okay, and advocate for causes,
mm-hmm.
and they give money to very liberal causes.
Yes.
I'm talking about Ben and Jerry's,
mm-hmm.
the two founders. What if conservatives went into Ben and Jerry's and burnt down their ice cream stores, or, you know, threw cocktails in there, or mm-hmm. like these lefties are doing against Tesla dealerships, yes. and mm-hmm. There would be the media would just be screaming to high heaven, hey, look at these right-wing extremists who are violent and are attacking Ben and Jerry's. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
All the violence seems to be coming from the left.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, this is for all the talk of fascism
right.
on the right, it's the people on the left that are doing the firebombing. It was Antifa several years ago,
yes.
punching people in the face.
Yes.
Okay.
The BLM fires and destroying city blocks and so forth.
Right.
That went on. So why is it, you know, if you can give me examples besides Timothy McVeigh.
Yes, that was back in the 1990s.
And Timothy McVeigh was against, he was a government conspiracist, right?
Yes.
I think so. That was his motivation. It was, and that what to me, that why is that right wing? Anyway, yep. My point is they always say Timothy McVeigh, or they'll say now J6ers or something yep. like that. But 95 times out of 100, if you want to have acts of violence, committed in the name of politics. It's people on the left who are doing it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Despite the claims that, you know.
Yeah, the fascists are on the right.
Yeah, on the right. So,
but anyway. That's an excellent point about the Ben and Jerry's. Just because conservatives disagree with the leftist views of Ben and Jerry's, they don't go burning them down. They just, what they do is they just don't go buy their ice cream. That's why I don't buy Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I don't think I've ever had it. But if it was available locally, I wouldn't buy it. Why? Because I disagree with their political views. And people are free not to buy a Tesla.
Right. But you can't go do violence to people's individual cars or to Tesla dealership.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know Jimmy Kimmel, I didn't see this myself, but I read about it. He's the late night quote comedian on, is it ABC? I think.
Jimmy Kimmel. I think he is ABC.
And the other day they said that he had a joke about acts of violence against Tesla and he didn't condemn it. Mm. He had a smirk on his face. Like he was saying he was against it while he was saying, but really I'm in favor of it. Type in Jimmy Kimmel. I'm just saying, would anybody else get it? If you had somebody on the rights or on the conservative late night talk show host who encouraged and or made fun of violence against Ben and Jerry's, for example, you think he would be able to stay on the air?
Absolutely not.
No. He is ABC, by the way. He's on ABC.
Type in Jimmy Kimmel Tesla joke.
And I did read this. I did not actually.
You know what I'm talking about?
I did not actually see it. Tesla joke.
Right.
My understanding is that he mocked Elon Musk. Okay, so here's, if I can get this to pull up. Jim, this is from the Economic Times. Jimmy Kimmel faces backlash after he mocked Elon Musk. Okay, well, my computer thing just disappeared. I lost it. I don't know what happened.
You didn't lose it.
Yeah, I did.
We all have
it's,
our.
It's oh, gone.
Okay. Anyway.
Boy.
What he was going to say was that he's being Jimmy Kimmel. Some people. There it is. Pull it back up.
I'm trying. Yeah, pulling it back up.
This is live radio, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Ed is doing a live search on the internet. And you have to forgive Ed. He's 60. How old are you?
I'm 66.
So, you know, you're not just whizzing around. You know what I'm saying? On the internet.
That's right.
And I don't blame you. I'm not saying that's. I'm just
all
saying
right.
That, that's reality.
So, okay.
Give me a stall for you.
Well, you just threw this. I'm just trying to.
I did ask you to do something.
I can't find it. I can't.
Well, it is.
There's other things.
It is, as I said, it was. He was condemned because he was saying don't do acts of violence against Tesla when he did and he was laughing about it. What I'm saying, yeah. As if he said I'm. You know how somebody says something they don't mean it. That's what the joke was about.
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. Here I found it. Okay. he's saying to the camera, new Tesla vehicles have been vandalized by individuals. Please don't ever vandalize Tesla vehicles. He said, and then paused to smile. Huh. So he was clearly saying,
Could a conservative get away?
No.
No.
With that?
No.
And not be fired? This is Disney ABC who pays Jimmy Kimmel all this money to advocate for violence against.
It's as if he looked at the camera after saying, don't vandalize Tesla vehicles, and then winked. So. Mm-hmm. That's what he did. He's gotten a lot of criticism.
He was making fun of it.
Yes. He was smiling as if.
Like, keep doing it, people.
Yeah.
Keep on. That's what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, again, the violence advocated on the left can be even out in the open like that. But their fellow liberal media people aren't going to hold them to account like they would if, let's say, Greg Gutfeld did that on Fox at night and said, you know, advocated for, hey, don't go breaking the windows of Ben and Jerry's, okay? We wouldn't want that to happen.
And then smiled
really big. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You think you'd be able to get by with that? No.
Nope.
All right, you're listening. I know Elon Musk is not a believer in Christ. As far as I know, he is. Is it? He didn't have a testimony, right?
No, he's not a Christian.
He is, but he is a obviously a highly intelligent person and a very smart businessman. Uh-huh. And but we need to pray for him because, just because he needs the Lord.
Yes. Right.
He needs the Lord. We all need the Lord. Uh-huh. But he is doing a great service in what he's doing with Doge for our country, and he's getting slammed every day by the liberal media uh-huh. on this. And I would just say this. What he's doing, Elon Musk, to me, I mean, he has a little bit of an eccentric personality sometimes, and he can say things that are abrasive to people that seem heartless, I guess. But I don't think he's heartless. If you listen to him at length, no. discuss these things. What he is doing basically is an audit. He's doing an audit of our federal government.
Yes.
Which is long overdue. Mm-hmm. And he's only exposing a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. My thing is, why are people on the left so opposed to that? I don't. Now, I guess they would say, well, when you expose what happens at USA, they call it USA. What was that?
USAID.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. So they would say, well, you're by eliminating it, like Trump has done on the recommendation of Elon Musk, you're eliminating a lot of good work that's in their minds that are being done around the world to advance American values, all because you found some little waste here and there, or some things that we were funding that were nutty, like transgendered. I don't know what
they had like. Pro-trans.
It was one thing after.
Comic
it was
books
a bunch
in
of,
El Salvador.
The LGBT cause was using this money to promote their agenda around the world.
Yes.
I think that's the bingo right there, uh-huh. is that the federal government for far too long has just been a conduit to spend money on left-wing causes.
Yes.
And if you shut off the faucet,
yes.
the left-wing causes, the money to it dries up. And that angers the leftists,
right?
Because they were spending money unchecked,
right?
That's part of the outrage that people are feeling as all this waste is coming to the forefront, is that it was being wasted and it was being spent on left wing causes, and we're all paying for it, and the leftists don't want that coming under
so all Elon Musk and his team are doing is. Doing the audit, exposing the waste, fraud, and abuse, and then it's up to President Trump and his administration, because he's the one with the authority,
yes.
the legal authority, to actually shut something down or defund it. Right, Fred?
All Musk is doing is applying his business prowess.
Right.
He's a brilliant businessman.
Right.
And he's looking at the workforce, and he's asking, what do you do here? You know, what do you do here at the Education Department? What does Joe Smith do at this office? Oh, by the way, the offices are all empty, so we'd like you to come back to work, and if you don't, we'll give you 8 months' pay and kiss you goodbye.
By the way, private businesses do this all the time.
Yes.
Right.
They have to.
That's what they do.
They have to. But the federal government has gone unchecked and unaudited.
You know why these companies have to do this all the time?
Why?
They're answerable to their shareholders.
Yes.
And you know what? The federal government has been answerable to nobody.
Yes.
And both political parties have been in this game.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's taken
Amen,
Donald
brother.
Trump and Doge yeah. to expose this. And guess what? Now the federal government is accountable. Well, they're trying to make it accountable. To the American people.
And, you know, Elon Musk early on said, hey, the mistakes are going to be made
yeah.
by us,
yeah.
by our team in reporting things sometimes because we're having, well, a lot of times they're having to do the research and investigation without the help or assistance of the people who should be helping them.
That's right.
If you have nothing to be ashamed of, so to speak.
Right, yeah.
All right, next story, Fred.
All right, you guys have heard of the term headhunters in the corporate world?
Yes.
Basically, it's you go looking to for a new president, whatever the case may be.
You hire headhunters, and they find your person.
Yes. In the political world, it means something else. It means we're looking for a scapegoat because we're in trouble, and we're looking for to get rid of somebody. And right now, in the Democratic Party, it appears that Chuck Schumer has got a circle around him. The lawmakers are just back in Washington this week, but Chuck Schumer was on various programs this weekend, you know, NBC and some of the other networks, and he is facing real fire from within his party. It started before this, but really where it took off was just in the last 10 days when Chuck Schumer decided to support the Republicans' budget proposal.
Yes.
And the House, the Democrats in the House totally rejected it. So now they, you know, and the Democratic Party is going through this, why did we lose so badly to the Republicans? And
they're doing some soul searching, Fred.
They sure are. But it looks like somebody in the party thinks that Chuck Schumer should pay a price for supporting the Republicans in this budget. So I got a couple of cuts for you. This is Chuck Schumer. He was being interviewed in one of these network programs on the weekend. He let it be known, I'm not going anywhere. But Fox this morning talked to Harold Ford Jr. He is a Democrat, used to be a member of Congress. He's now one of the analysts on Fox. Anyway, so what you're going to hear is Chuck Schumer and then Harold Ford talking about what are the Dems going to do. Chuck, cut eight.
Look, I'm not stepping down. Sometimes when you're a leader, you have to do things to avoid a real danger that might come down the curve. And I did it out of pure conviction as to what a leader should do.
It's not just enough to resist. I see Senator Sanders and the Congresswoman AOC that they call from New York out traveling the country and saying resist, resist, resist. I think what people are looking for from Democrats and from politicians in general or more ideas. Can you imagine if Democrats were saying, we're calling, presenting bills to the Congress and Senate, so we're calling on every agency to reduce spending by 5%. We're calling on a repeal of the carried interest tax. We're calling on no taxes on, like President Trump said, on overtime and tips up to $100,000. We're calling on new spending on the best defense technology to repel communists from around the world, repel communists and foes around the globe, and new aircraft and drones and amphibious equipment. And we want to ensure that every kid gets a good education, even if that means charters or vouchers or school choice. These are the kinds of things I think the country wants from every politician. And Democrats, we would advantage ourselves if we were taking this path as opposed to, I think, the path that some in our party, some of the leaders are taking now.
I think that's Harold Ford Jr. on Fox News. I think he's right on the money.
Yes.
In terms of his advice to his own party.
Yes.
However, everything he was going down there through this, I was going, charter schools. Have you talked to the teachers unions? The teachers unions are not going to allow any kind of competition. They're going to be opposed to any kind of competition for the public school system.
Yes.
And so I think that's a popular idea with a lot of Americans, school choice, tax vouchers, whatever, charter schools, all these things. But the Democrat party, they're going to, the teachers unions and all unions, name me one union that supports anything Republican or conservative.
There's the board of union representing border workers, and the auto workers have also.
Are they kind of neutral now?
Well, because
they've always been lockstep with the Democrats.
Oh yeah, but because Trump has said I want to bring automaking back to the United States, they supported him in the last election.
I got you. Yeah. But anyway, I think that's good advice there. I do think that the Democrat Party nationally, they're in total disarray. They don't have any leaders that have national stature.
Nope.
Now, you know, what is they all saying? In a vacuum, nature abhors a vacuum. Is that what they say?
Yes.
Is that what they say?
They do.
Do they say that?
They say it.
That nature abhors a vacuum. So somebody's going to emerge in the next 3 to 6 months, probably that will become the leader of the Democrat Party. Who that will be, I don't know. I'm guessing. I'm thinking the governor of Pennsylvania. They say, I haven't heard him talk much, but they say he's very energetic and, you know, charismatic, so to speak. And so maybe he would be the one. But again, they got problems. They got serious problems, the Democrats do, because they are in an internal fight between traditional Democrats and these far left wackadoodles like AOC and Bernie Sanders and us. That's where the energy is. The far left wackadoodles are the ones who draw the crowds because they stand for something. Uh-huh. Now, I disagree with what they stand for, but they at least fight for what they believe in, while the traditional Democrats just don't seem to have any energy there, like Chuck Schumer, for example.
Yep.
Do we have that clip, or is it we're going to play that next half hour? I'm talking about Bernie Sanders.
Talking about the
related
interview
to what we're talking about, yeah. No, ABC News, Carl. We're going to do that next half hour with Steve.
You can, yeah.
Are we stealing his thunder?
Yeah, okay. I think Steve.
Yeah, we can do that. All but right. To your point, and when we after the break, we will with Steve see the problem that the Democratic Party is in. Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, I think would be a real threat in 2028. Except for the fact that his party is filling up with people who support Hamas.
And he's Jewish.
And he's Jewish, which is why I think he was passed over for governor.
That's the reason, yeah.
Of Minnesota, because they did not want to face the pro-Hamas, anti-Israel part of the party by selecting someone who's Jewish.
Harris, despite all her faults and her word salads, would have had a fighting chance to win the presidential election had she chosen the governor of Pennsylvania.
I agree.
Uh-huh.
Josh Shapiro, because that would have given her Pennsylvania, probably. Probably.
Yeah. Good chance for that.
And then, you know, you win Pennsylvania, then, you know, it's right down to the wire on who wins.
Instead, Trump won all the swing states.
And she went with the governor from Minnesota, who nobody ever heard of, and who was himself a wackadoodle.
A wackadoodle.
Yeah.
From a state that there's no way she was going to lose it.
Minnesota. Right. Made no sense politically. Right. All right. So thank you, Fred.
You are welcome.
And we will return with more of today's issues in 5 minutes. We thank you for listening to AFR. I hope you're having a great day. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.